Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the book of Ezra. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Prayer of Ezra as we look at the faithfulness of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Ezra, chapter 9, verse 5. As we follow along with Pastor Chuck Smith.
And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having torn my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. So get a picture of this man now. The time of the evening prayers and the evening sacrifices have come. He has been sitting there all day, dazed and shocked, astonished by what the people have done. And now he gets on his knees. His clothes are torn. His hair has been plucked out. And he raises his hands to the Lord God of heaven. And he said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and I blush to lift up my face to thee, my God." Jeremiah, who was one of the prophets before the captivity, and who was prophesying during the time they went into captivity, as he was talking of the sins of the people that perpetrated the captivity, that brought on the captivity, in telling of the things that they were doing, he said, "And neither are they ashamed." And then later he said, "And they do these things and they don't even blush." Now Ezra, no doubt, was familiar with the prophecy of Jeremiah, as was Daniel. It was a popular book during the captivity. It became a bestseller among the Jews, because they realized that this fellow Jeremiah was indeed speaking to them the word of God, because his prophecies came to pass so accurately. And so Ezra, having knowledge and being familiar with the prophecy of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was speaking how the people were doing these shameful things, but they weren't really embarrassed by it. They weren't blushing. They weren't ashamed. He said, "God, I'm ashamed. I blush." In the New Testament, there is a word, wantonness. And wantonness is that person who can do the most horrible, defiling acts of sin without any shame, who sort of flaunts the fact that they do it. And it is the flaunting of a person's sin that the Bible terms wantonness. Illustrated in our society today, in the marches of the homosexuals and lesbians down the street. That is wantonness. That is not showing any shame at all for their violation of God's law, but sort of flaunting the fact that we dare to violate the laws of God and nature. "God, I'm ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to thee, O God. For our iniquities are increased over our head." That is, they have risen until we're drowning in them. They have overwhelmed us. They're overflowing. "And our trespass has grown up unto the heavens." It's come before you. You're aware, God, of our trespasses and our iniquities. Notice he doesn't use the word sin. Sin is a missing of the mark, but quite often it's not deliberate or willful. Quite often it's just a being a poor shot, a weakness. But trespass is a deliberate, willful violation of the law of God. And iniquity, of course, is the sum of the sins and trespasses. He confesses the iniquity and the trespass. And he said, since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we and our kings and our priests been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, and to the confusion of face as it is this day. God, you brought severe judgment upon us. You brought the sword upon us. You brought upon us the judgment as we were carried away captives, as we endured such severe persecution, slavery, because of our iniquities and our trespasses. It must be noted that though Ezra himself was not personally guilty of this particular sin, yet he identifies himself with the people in his prayer. And in his prayer, he uses the personal pronoun, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities. He wasn't saying they did this and they did that. He's saying our, we, us, my. There is a saying, in order for evil to triumph, all is necessary is that the good people do nothing. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. For a long time in our nation, we have been gradually going downhill. And for the most part, the church has remained silent. A phrase was coined to express the lethargy of the people of the United States. It was the silent majority. And I do believe that the silent majority does exist. I do believe that the majority of the people in the United States are appalled at what's going on. I believe that the majority of the people in the United States are opposed to our children being exposed to all kinds of pornography when they go to the store to buy a loaf of bread for their mother. They're opposed to the children being exposed to this terrible violence and all that is on TV. What do? We sit back. We buy the products who sponsor this kind of destruction of the minds of our children. And because we support the institutions, we have to share in the guilt of what's being done. And when we support those institutions that blaspheme our Lord, that tear down the morals of our nation, then we become contributors and we become guilty ourselves. It's because we haven't stood up. It's because we have just been the silent majority and haven't spoken out that evil is allowed to continue to grow and to spread its tentacles through our entire society. So the Supreme Court opened the door for pornography. We didn't do anything about it. A few voices here and there that were quickly silenced because the enemy in his opposition is very loud and very vocal. Having opened the doors to pornography, arousing the emotions without really the maturity of good judgment. Children becoming involved in sexual activities, and mothers advising their daughters on the use of the pill and prophylactics. Children being immature as they are, we suddenly have thousands, millions of pregnancies, unwanted children. And so the court that opened the door for all of this to happen opens the door again in order that women might be able to get the abortions. Children, without even the knowledge or consent of their parents, can get an abortion, though they can't get their ears pierced. All in the name of freedom. And we've allowed it to happen. Oh God, our iniquity has risen over our heads. Our trespasses are as high as the heavens. And Ezra accepts his responsibility and identifies himself with those who have sinned. It is interesting, if you read in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, a prophet in exile, a prophet in Babylon, as Daniel begins to seek the Lord and as Daniel prays, he again begins to confess the sins of the nation, but he puts himself in it. Lord, we have our, you know, and it's our and it's we. And he takes the share of the responsibility for what's happened to the nation and to this whole, the condition of the nation. He bears also the responsibility of it. I think that too often we say, oh Lord, they. But we don't realize or we don't face the fact that they wouldn't be able to do it unless I supported them. And you cannot escape the responsibility that you are partially responsible that this has happened. I am partially responsible for these things that have happened. We have sinned. Our iniquities are over our head. Our trespasses have reached into the heavens. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. But America has turned its back upon God. Our children are allowed to be exposed to all kinds of blasphemy within the classrooms. Sex education. A classroom of kindergartners here in Orange County were taken to the drugstore and shown how to buy prophylactics, in which department they exist. America, America, God help us. Ezra said, Lord, your hand of judgment has been upon us, the sword, the captivity, because of the iniquities that we, our kings and our priests, have committed. We've been delivered to the hands of the enemies who have spoiled us, taken us captive. And now, for a little space, you have shown us grace. For you have left a remnant to escape out of the captivity, to give us a nail in this holy place. So that is, we've come back a place to put our, hang our coat or hang our hat. We've got a nail in this holy place. That our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. You've been good. You've been gracious. You brought us back. You showed us grace and to give us a place, a remnant to come back here to escape from the slavery and all. For we were slaves, and yet our God did not forsake us in our slavery, but has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us life, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations of it and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. God, you were good to us. Your grace and mercy were bestowed. You've allowed some of us to come back to start afresh, to start anew, to start over again. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? Now we get the report. Here they are, the leaders, the priests, the Levites, the people. They are back doing the very same thing for which the judgment of God came upon them. What shall we say after this? God, I don't know what to say. I have no words. I'm just at that point of just total frustration. For we have forsaken your commandments. God, you gave us another chance. In your mercy and in your grace, you gave us another chance, a reviving. You brought back something that was dead. You gave us a second chance, and what have we done? We've gone right back out and committed the same evils, the same trespasses, which you have commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. God said, you're going into a corrupt hole. The land is filled with filthiness and abominations. Now, because of this, do not give your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. Now, this is what you told us. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that you have really punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and you have given us such deliverance as this, and now that we should again break your commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations, would you not be angry with us till you had consumed us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? God, you would be just in just wiping us out completely, not leaving a soul. O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Your hand of judgment has not yet fallen. God, you're so good not to have wiped us out completely already. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. God is just... here we are. And he's just sort of casting himself upon God at this point. Not arguing, not justifying himself, not saying, well, Lord, you know, trying to give excuses, which we are so prone to do. He just says, we're guilty. God, we deserve whatever you send. You have been good to us. You haven't really punished us as much as we deserve. The very fact that we are still existing is a demonstration of the mercy and the grace of God. The long-suffering of God, the patience of God. But be sure of this, God's judgment does not linger. God is going to judge this nation. Even as the sins of Sodom rose up to heaven until they forced God to destroy them, so the sins of America have risen up unto heaven, and the time is coming very soon when God is going to bring the nation down. But I do believe that even as the angels came down to Sodom and delivered Lot out of the city before the fiery wrath of God came upon it, that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
We'll return with more of our study of Ezra in our next lesson as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
But may the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you in His love, strengthen you by His Spirit as we seek to do the Lord's work. And may the Lord turn against the enemy every ploy that he might institute against your walk. And though the enemy may intend it for evil, may the Lord turn it for good, that you might see the good hand of God upon your life, enabling you to be the man, to be the woman that God wants you to be, filled with His Spirit, walking in the Spirit, an instrument that God uses to bring His love and His grace to others through Jesus Christ.
I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of very special resources by Pastor Chuck Smith that answer some of the many questions about the third person of the Trinity. The first of these two resources is entitled The Person of the Holy Spirit and contains 12 messages that explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit in detail, as well as how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. Now, the second resource is entitled The Gifts of the Holy Spirit and consists of 19 messages covering such subjects as healing, prophecy, and faith. Pastor Chuck not only explains how and why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to the church today, but he also encourages believers to fully understand the working of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Once again, you'll be asking for The Person of the Holy Spirit and The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-9673. WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.